free message. You guys are such a bunch of cool people together. It's just like you're just cool without even trying to be cool. It's just like I feel inspired just being, and slightly intimidated as well, just being with you guys. And it is a tremendous privilege. We've had such an awesome time in the presence of the Lord already this weekend. He's done so much. And I love the fact that we could stand a little bit still during worship and just think about what God is saying to us. And this morning I've got a huge expectation in my heart as well of what the Lord is wanting to say to us. And again, welcome to our visitors. You didn't feel like visitors, even though you slightly sort of visitors. It's good to be amongst family and to share this time together. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for what you have already done this morning, God. We thank you that we can gather in such a beautiful setting. Lord, we thank you for all the years prior to today, Lord, where you've done so much in this place. Every time when we came together, when other family members, Lord, came together here, and you've spoken, and you've touched, and you have moved, and you have healed and saved. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you that Circulus said, Lord, today also represents a memorial stone, Father, that we can stand still and thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the fact that you, who have been faithful up to now, will be faithful as you lead us forward, God. We honor you for the foundations that you have laid, and we thank you for the new things, Lord, that you are doing. And for your grace, Holy Spirit, to allow us to walk with you, to transition with you. Thank you that you are our good shepherd, Jesus, and that you are constantly walking and leading, and that your desire is for none of us to be left behind. So we thank you for your promise in your word that we as your sheep, we hear your voice, and we rejoice and we rest in that ability that you have given us, Lord, to hear your voice. But we rejoice even more in your commitment to speak to us. And so, God, we thank you that this morning you will continue to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So our key portion of Scripture this weekend comes from Zechariah 4, verse 1. And I'm just going to read for you that the portion of Scripture. Hercules shared this with us on Thursday. When did we start? Saturday. Yesterday. Feels like we've been here a week already. God has done so much. It feels like we've been impacted for days on end, but it's only been like a couple of days, praise the Lord. Apparently, some of you guys started a whole new party last night around about 11 after the rugby. Don't know why you started a party after the rugby, but again, there was a bride that started again at about 11. Marco, is that true? Yeah. Yes, like it. Nigel, were you there? Did you? You weren't invited. I wasn't invited either. Okay, so, but we'll forgive them. All right, it's all right. But, hey? Yo, even a strobe light. It's intense. Okay. Zechariah, I don't know whether he went to bed late, whether he had a bride starting at 11, but he had an encounter with an angel, right, who came to him, and he was in a little bit of a daze. So the angel who talked with me, all right, so bear in mind that the book of Zechariah, when we join the conversation between him and the angel, we sort of get a peak view into this celestial being having this conversation with a human being, and that by itself is significant and awe-inspiring. And this angel wakes Zechariah. Okay, now, I don't know how you woke up, Nigel, with an alarm or just your internal clock, you just woke up. But yesterday, the day before, we had a journey from Cape Town via Dubai and ended up here. I don't normally sleep that well on the plane. So when we arrived here, Hercules fortunately gave us a couple of hours to go and rest a little bit before supper would start. And before I knew it, it was time for supper. But Milani came and woke us up. And now I'm like, I hear this voice calling from a distance, and I sort of recognize the voice, but I know who it is, but my brain can't get to my mouth to say Milani, and I'm like, yeah, it sounded so rude. I wanted to say, yeah, Milani, but you know, it's like I was in a daze, and when I read this, I thought, yeah, I can relate to Zechariah, yeah, you know, so an angel wakes him up, okay, so the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me, so he's had a couple of divine encounters with this angel. This is the fifth vision that he gets, the fifth sort of conversation that he has with this angel. The angel awakened me as a man who's awakened out of his sleep, right? So he's a little bit dazed still in that moment. And the angel says to him, "What do you see?" All right, and I believe that it's important for us to just celebrate what God has been doing these last couple of days. And I believe that for some of us, God has been awakening us up out of some sleep, some slumber. You know, where sometimes the busyness of life, the stress of life, the good things that we need to be doing, the priorities that we need to be coping with, can sort of move us out of sync a little bit with what God is saying. And then God needs to come and he needs to wake us up. And he's a specialist in waking us up. He's a specialist in getting our attention, waking us up. And he comes to Zechariah and he says to him, "What do you see?" Now, Nigel said it. It's so important that the questions that God asks of us, you know, are important questions that causes us to stand still, deliberate, think a little bit. And for Zechariah, it's, I'm seeing something. I'm not too clear in what I'm seeing. And we'll see how he navigates through this. And he says, "I'm looking." Okay, so the angel asks him, "What do you see?" And he says, "Okay, I'm looking. And there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it. And on the right of the bowl and the other, one on the right of the bowl and the other at its left." And so I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Right? So the angel comes, the angel wakes him up. The angel takes him into this vision. He sees this vision. So this vision doesn't come from Zechariah, doesn't come from the 11 o'clock bride place. It comes from God. It's a heavenly vision. Right? But he's being woken up out of this sleep. He sees the vision. But then it's clear that while he's looking at this, what he sees doesn't make sense to him. Okay, he sees the vision. He sees the lampstand. He sees the bowls. He sees the pipes connected to all of it. And then he asks the question, "What are these, my Lord?" So we see that there's a journey in this revelatory experience for Zechariah. He's woken up by the angel. He's woken up by God. He sees something, but it's not clear what he's seeing. He sees it in the natural. He can describe it. It's a bowl, a golden bowl. It's got seven lamps. It's connected to two olive trees. He can see all of that. And then he asks this question, "What are these, my Lord?" I'm like, duh, Zechariah, it's a lampstand, a golden lampstand, all right, with seven candles there, and it's connected to two olive trees. That's what it is. But it's clear that the vision went beyond just what he was seeing in the natural. There was something there that he had to see. And it's so true in our walk with Christ and our walk with God and with the Holy Spirit, in our callings, that what we often see is not really what we see. What we observe initially isn't truly really what God is wanting us to see. And what Zechariah does here is so encouraging to me. And I know this morning, even as we were in worship, that's what some of us were doing. We were like, "Lord, what is this? What does it mean? That thing that you told me yesterday. I mean, what does it mean? How do I bring this home? How do I live this out? What impact is this going to make on my life?" And Zechariah goes back to the angel and says, "What are these?" And the angel who talked with me answered me and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" It's like, just like it. Okay, I'm confused already. You don't have to reinforce it. He says, "No, I don't know what these are." And what I'm so blessed by Zechariah's honesty. He says, "I see something. It doesn't make sense to me." Goes to the angel and says, "What are these?" The angel says, "Come on, buddy. You're supposed to know this." It's almost like a rhetorical question. "Don't you know what this is?" He's like, "No, I don't know. I don't know what it is." And Zechariah was a spiritual guy, right? He was supposed to know and to understand spiritual things. He was a prophet in actual fact. And I love the humility wherewith he engages with God around this, because this is the truth, that when God comes and God wakens us up out of our slumber, and he's had four revelations already, you would think he's a revelatory expert at this stage. God has taken him through many revelations, and yet he has the humility of heart to go back to God and to say, "I don't have a clue. I see this, but it doesn't make sense to me." And the angel says, "Are you sure?" He says, "I don't know." And then I am encouraged by the fact that God delights in giving us direction. He delights in shining his light into our darkness. He delights in waking us up. He delights in having this conversation with us. In my own life, I've discovered that very often when a revelation comes or when a word comes, I spring into action sometimes too quickly. And I don't pause enough with Zechariah and Derkian. Such a powerful message, Derkian, yesterday. One day when I'm big, I want to be as concise and as anointed as you are within 30 minutes. It was so powerful. Yes, like it, you really inspired me. The key, I believe, for Zechariah was that he went back to God with humility in his heart. He didn't presume. He didn't just run on this vision. He went back to God and says, God, I don't understand. And here's the encouragement for us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 10. As it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, that whenever God wakes us up, whenever God in worship speaks to us, whenever God through a word speaks to us, whenever God, when we're outside in nature, begins to reveal things to us, whenever that revelation experience begins, it's important for us to understand that if it's from God, it is going to be beyond anything you have encountered before. Doesn't matter how many revelations you've had before. When a word truly comes from God, when God is ushering us and inviting us into something new, there will be things that we recognize. He recognized the lampstand. He recognized it was made of gold. He recognized the olive tree. So they were familiar to him. It wasn't a complete mystery, but he was honest enough to say, God, unless you bring clarity, unless you show me, unless you speak to me about this, I'm honest enough to say I can miss this. I don't know the significance of what this means. And I believe that as we're venturing out, you know, we just have a sense that God is saying our season in this building is ending as far as planted is concerned. And we're venturing out and God is showing us new horizons. He's showing us new territories, but we don't know exactly where. And we're honest with God about that. We say, God, we know you're bringing one season to an end. You're ushering us into next. I mean, we're in this journey with Tommy and Daniel as well. God is doing something between us. We don't know exactly what, but we're engaging with God around that, and we're on this journey. And I believe that for us, it is so important to remain in that place of humility with God when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the visions and the revelations that God gives us, to walk with humility, to say, God, I recognize it's the angel. It's not the pizza. It's not the bride place. It's the angel waking me up. I recognize it's you speaking to me. That was from you. But God, I'm not just going to rush off and just run in a direction without first getting clarity from you. And we live in a culture, don't we, where things should have happened yesterday already. Everything is faster than before. Every phone that comes out is supposed to simplify your life, make your life easier because it's faster than before. You can do more things than before. And in actual fact, it mostly just complicates your life sometimes. Gives you more apps to download and more different things to sync. And it can make your life easier as well, but it can complicate things as well. And I believe spiritually sometimes we engage with God and we can enter into a weekend like this or leave a weekend like this frustrated because we don't have the 10-step plan. We don't know exactly, okay, so this is how my wife's life is going to be changed, my kids' lives, my business, simply because God has spoken. And I want to encourage you to continue to go back to the angel, to go back to the Lord, that when he has awoken something in you this weekend, when he stirred something in you, get clarity on that. What did you see? Stop. Take some moments. We still have a couple of days, a day and a bit left here. Break away. Wake up 4 o'clock in the morning if you can. And potter around in your head. I love that word. Pottering around in your head. But engage with the word. Engage with the vision. And look at what God showed you. Look at what does it mean. And start engaging with God around this. And the beauty of this is that God has prepared things for us that no eye has seen. That your experience, whatever your experience has been up to now, however amazing your experience has been within Shofar, within any other church, in your spiritual life with God, in your marriage, with your kids, however amazing that experience has been or however painful that experience has been, that experience should not, cannot, and must not define for you the things that God has in store for you. None of those experiences can limit what God has in store for you. We don't have a clue, saints. We don't have a clue as to the beautiful, glorious things. None of us has seen it, nor heard it, nor has it entered into our hearts the fullness of what God has prepared for us. But here's the beauty. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. He hears the deep things of God. And if we want to engage with God concerning our future, concerning the plans that He has for us, the visions that He has for us, we have to make a conscious decision to say, I will engage from a place in the Spirit. I can look at God's faithfulness in my life, and I can use it as inspiration. But I've got to engage from the Spirit. I've got to say, God, I'm bringing to you my spirit. And I believe that's what the Lord has been doing in worship. He's been opening up our spirits again. Opening up, opening up, opening up. Just for the Holy Spirit to come and touch us, to flow through us, for Jesus to be the center of our lives. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So here's the beauty that Zechariah experienced, and I believe that all of us have experienced and are going to experience. God delights through His Spirit to give us clarity on what He has begun to share with us this weekend. He doesn't delight in dropping a little tidbit of His vision, His plan in our hearts, and then not speaking to us until next year planted again. He delights in having ongoing conversations with us, not just Sunday to Sunday, but during the rest of the week as well. The Holy Spirit delights in awakening us, delights in speaking to us, delights in revealing the heart of God to us. And if we want to get to the heart of God, then we need to strengthen our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because who knows the heart of a man except the Spirit of a man? Who knows the heart of God except the Spirit of God? And I want to encourage us as spiritful believers to ask God to give us a fresh awakening of a desire to engage with the Holy Spirit, to get to know Him as a person, not just as someone that helps us to prophesy or to speak in tongues, not as a thing that we do, but as a person. That He wants to come and speak to us, wants to come and reveal the heart of God to us. He wants to communicate God's longings to us. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, and I love this, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I love this. Whether we're in Spain, Germany, South Africa, wherever we might be, that we have received not the Spirit of the world. We've not received the Spirit of the world. We've not received the Spirit of fear. We've not received the Spirit of panic, of hopelessness, or of despair. We have received the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the things freely given to us by God. And I want to encourage you, and I know this environment is a tough environment. You are like apostles, you missionaries, each one of you, where you live, because you're in a culture and environment that's contrary to the gospel. Just read some statistics this morning, again, where it is clear that Europe is a post-Christian society, that most of the millennials growing up have got no association with religion whatsoever, and the projections don't look good, and that is in the natural the truth. But we don't base our engagement and God's promise for us based on things in the natural. If we start there, we're going to be in trouble. We've got to come from the place in the Spirit, and the promise of God is that He has given us a lot of things freely. Freely. And my question to you is this. In your orbit, in your place of building, like Zechariah to build the temple and inspire Zerubbabel to build the temple. In your building today, do you know the things that God has freely given to you? Is what has freely been given to you by the Spirit what lives in you, or is the constraints of the physical what determines what's going on in your life? Is what has been freely given to you by the Spirit what motivates you and inspires you and leads you, or is the physical constraints around you the thing that occupies most of your attention? And for me, I felt the Holy Spirit saying is that He's wanting to awake us out of a preoccupation with just what we see around us. He wants to awake us out of that. He wants to awake us into a life in the Spirit again, where we can engage with the Spirit and with the promises of the Spirit. But where do we start? We start with what we are seeing right now, because that is what Zechariah did. So he says, I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold. He says, I'm looking. Very often when we say, okay, engage in the Spirit, don't be preoccupied with things in the natural, it can sound like I'm saying, don't look at what's around you. That's not what I'm saying. But Zechariah, he starts off and says, I'm looking. And I want to ask you, what are you seeing when you're looking at your life right now? What are you seeing? If the angel were to wake you up and ask you, look at your life. Look at your life. And the angel is there, and the angel would be the Holy Spirit representing God's Spirit. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? What vision has been given to you? If we were to take each one of your hearts and there would be a projector flashing the vision that you are seeing on the screen, what would that be? What are you seeing when you look at your life? Let me give you a minute or two to think about that. Maybe to write that down right now. What's the thing that when you look at your life, and that looking would be in the presence of God, because this is what happens to Zechariah, he's in the presence of God, and he's looking. What are you seeing? What has been dropped into your spirit? What is the thing that is, you can see this is a God thing. This is, I don't have clarity on it. You don't have to have full clarity and full understanding on it. But what are you seeing in your life that you know is a glimpse from heaven? What are you seeing? Let me give you a minute and ask you to look at what you are seeing. You're not going to share it with me. It's just for you to start engaging with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would right now help us. God, as you have stirred our hearts and you have awakened us, Lord, to you. And we are looking, Lord. I pray that you will now show us. Bring to our remembrance what we need to see. Thank you, Lord. For some of us here in this room, it might be something that is burned in your heart a long time ago. But it's something you have seen in the presence of God. All right, so I'm asking you to look at something that you have seen concerning your life in the presence of God. I'm not asking you to give me the interpretation. I'm not asking you to give me the details. I'm asking you to look at something that you have seen concerning your life in the presence of God. I'll give you one more minute just to engage with the Holy Spirit around that. Okay, I'm trusting God that it will be the beginning of a conversation, that you will continue with him. You will not be afraid to look. There's no greater joy than living with vision. There's no greater joy than being able to look at our lives through a heavenly perspective. And I believe that it's our birthright, each one of us, to have an area in our lives, every area in our lives, that we can look through heaven's eyes. Whether it's our children, it's our workplace, because here's something beautiful. It says, I'm looking and there's a lampstand. We know that in Scripture, Book of Revelation, it says that the lampstands that John sees, they're the lampstands representing the church, seven churches. So a lampstand speaks about our mandate, it speaks about our authority, it speaks about our purpose and our destiny given to us as congregations, but also as individuals. And I believe that for each one of us, that your life represents a lampstand. It represents a mandate, a calling that God has given you to shine your light. We visited the Kango Caves in Oudtshoorn, South Africa, a couple of weeks ago. And they've excavated these caves like 5 kilometers deep into the mountains they've gone. And they showed us how the original explorers who went in there at the beginning of the, I think it was mid-1800s, went in there with a little oil lamp. And as we go into those caves, they switch off all the lights, and then it's pitch black, it's dark, and all you see is this tiny little light that's shone in the blackness of that cave. And it's a frightening experience to think that somebody would go into that darkness with that little light. But that little light was enough for him to actually do an incredible excavation. And then more lights went on, the more of the beauty we could see around us. But I believe that God is wanting to say to all of us that the light inside of us is bigger than the darkness around us. It's bigger than the darkness around us. Your life represents a lampstand that God has given you. And that lampstand needs to shine, needs to glow brightly for the world around you to see it. And our lampstands can be us together as a congregation. It can be us as families. It can be us as individuals. And I believe the Lord is wanting to encourage us to engage with him around this lampstand. Okay, because here comes the angel. And the angel says to him, okay, Zechariah, let me tell you. So he answered and said to me in verse 6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And Hercules touched on this, and Anton will continue to share this tomorrow. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. All right? So here's this lampstand that Zechariah sees, and it's supposed to be making sense to him because here's the background for the lampstand. Okay, in Leviticus 24, verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to make the lamps burn continually. So there were lampstands already, lamps that were supposed to be in the temple. And so when Zerubbabel is rebuilding the temple, he is bringing back all the different utensils and implements that were supposed to be in the temple as well. So he knew that he had to bring a lampstand into the temple. He knew that he had to bring a lampstand there, and that lampstand had to be fed with oil. And the oil would come from all the children of Israel. So all the children of Israel would bring pressed olives, and that's the beauty as well. The oil speaks of the anointing, speaks of life. And God always delights in bringing forth oil and joy and life, even out of our most painful circumstances. So when olives are pressed, it always speaks about our lives flowing into what God is doing. But here something changes. It says it in verse 3, Aaron shall be in charge of these lamps from evening until morning, right? So right through the night, Aaron and his descendants, they to watch over these lamps, and they to make sure that they pour enough oil into these lamps so that they don't go out. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. But here's the difference. This lampstand that Zechariah sees isn't being fed by the oil supplied by the priests. This lampstand is being fed supernaturally by these two olive trees next to it. And that lampstand is continuously being fed by the oil of the Holy Spirit. And so what he's saying to Zechariah, and that's why he's saying it's not by might nor by power. Zechariah, this lampstand, this new thing that you are going to be a part of, will be established not through your strength, not through the priests ministering day and night and pouring in oil and all the people bringing all their sacrifices. I'm going to sustain this lamp. I'm going to be sustaining this by my spirit and not by your own effort. And so where the Lord is taking us into this new season, into this time of entering into the rest of the Lord and into the purposes of the Lord and us fulfilling our purpose, our lampstands, it's not going to depend upon us. Okay, it's not going to depend on our striving. It's not going to depend on us just working harder, being more determined. It's going to depend upon our connection with the Holy Spirit. All right, and we said that yesterday, we sensed it this morning in the worship, and I feel that is, if that is the only thing we remember as we walk away from here, our dependency and our connection to the Holy Spirit is going to be key for us in completing the mission that the Lord has given us. All right, and why is oil so important? Why is it important for us to have our lamps, our lives filled, our lampstands filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit? There are a number of different uses for oil. Just quickly put them down there. Oil lubricates. Okay, it cuts out friction and relational wear and tear. Oil lubricates, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to transition us from our own oil, our own strengths, our own personalities, our own giftings, our own abilities to maintain relationships even, and translate us into supernatural relationships, where the oil of the Holy Spirit is lubricating our connections with one another, where the oil of the Holy Spirit is binding us together beyond our culture, beyond our common languages, even beyond our doctrinal differences at times. Where the Holy Spirit will continuously lubricate us and our relationships are not bound together by our structures, not bound together by our common vision and purposes, even as important as those things are. I'm not minimizing them, but they are not enough. They are not enough to keep us together. Our relational agreements as married couples are not enough to keep us together. Our own personalities, our own abilities to forgive and to try again. The great stuff that we have seen our parents leave us as examples, they're not enough. Unless the Holy Spirit is intimately woven into my relationship with my wife, it is a lot of hard work. I remember we at one stage went through a time and we were working hard at getting certain things right. And I would forget things, and I would send an email so I would CC me so I can make sure I don't forget the things that we spoke about, you know, just in an effort to get this right. Okay, and it was a lot of hard work until I made space, and we made space again for the Holy Spirit to come in there between us. So the Holy Spirit is what lubricates our relationships. And I believe that as we're going to move forward, we're going to be planting churches that are going to be looking differently. You're going to do kingdom businesses that are going to be looking differently. We might not be seeing each other as regularly as we always want to. The oil of the Holy Spirit is what we need to be relying upon. The oil heals wounds. Oil was rubbed into aching muscles. Oil was used. You remember the Good Samaritan when he picks the guy up from the road. He bandaged him, patched him up, anointed his wounds with oil. Oil is what heals the broken hearts. And so God is wanting to take us into a broken, desperate world with the oil of the Holy Spirit flowing through us as healing oil. Where it's not us that can do the healing, but it's the oil of the Holy Spirit healing the wounds. By the way, I feel there are people with physical wounds here. The Lord is wanting to heal pain in the leg, joint aches that the Lord is wanting to heal this morning. So I want to pray for you at the end. Oil lights the way as well. Oil lights dark corners and dark roads. And I believe that the Holy Spirit enables us, when the light of the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you don't have to have a 10-point plan for the next 10 years necessarily. But you are led by the Holy Spirit, even into moments of uncertainty, even into moments that would have freaked you out completely in the past. The Holy Spirit, however, does not want to leave us in confusion. He doesn't want to leave us not knowing what His purpose is for our lives. He doesn't want to leave us not knowing, you know, am I doing that which God has called me to do? Am I wasting my time? He doesn't want us to live like that. He wants to give us light. And if we are connected to Him, if we reconnect with the Holy Spirit, I believe He's going to bring us direction. I love what Ruth shared with us yesterday. She was wondering about her next year and what it will look like. And then she took a weekend out, went on a prayer retreat, cut some things out so she could focus on God, reconnect with the Holy Spirit, and He spoke to her clearly. Not the entire plan, but enough light to know what the next step is. And I believe that is God's will for us. It's no need for us to be in confusion, saints. Oil also warms cold places, cold hearts. There where the oil is burning, there's a warmth of love. And the world is a cold place. And I believe if we are connected to the Holy Spirit, His presence will be the warmth amongst us. The people will be ushered into that and they will feel welcome. Oil invigorates and it gives us strength. Wherever the oil was used in the Old Testament, it was used to release new strength over people, to anoint them for the next phase of their journey. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. When we feel burned out and we feel like we can't continue, connection with the Holy Spirit allows us to go into the next level. Oil was also given to saints as a sign of joy. Remember that Jesus was anointed with oil more than with joy, more than his fellows. And the fruit of the Spirit, part of that is joy in the Holy Ghost. God is wanting to give us a strength that is stepped into the joy of the Lord. And what oil also does, it polishes the rough edges. Now oil smooths things over. We've got some rough edges, don't we, as the people of God? And I believe that the covering of the Holy Spirit will allow us to help us to cover one another's weaknesses as well. Smooth over the rough edges. To not be so touchy, to not be so easily offendable. When we are connected to the Holy Spirit, we are able to live with one another's rough edges. We're able to have grace for one another. We're able to confront things in love and in humility, but we're able to have love and grace for each other. And so I pray that we would connect again with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 80 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and I'm almost done. His hands shall also finish it. And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, for who has despised a day of small beginnings?" Now, when he says, it's not by might nor by power, it was important for Zechariah to hear that. It was important for Zechariah to be reconnected to the oil of the Holy Spirit. It was important for him to release it over Zerubbabel, because Zerubbabel had been building this temple for almost 20 years. It's been a long time since he has laid the foundation. He's laid the foundation of the temple almost 17 years ago. It took him 2 years to lay the foundation of the temple, and then opposition came, and they left it. For 17 years, nothing happened. There was just a mountain of rubble there. And so he's looking at this again. He's having to start again, and this great mountain is in front of him. And he knows the word, and he's awoken out of slumber. Zechariah has got to give the word to Zerubbabel, but Zerubbabel has got to do something physical. And he hears the word, and the word says, it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power, it's going to be by my Spirit. Kazam, gone are the stones, zoop, there is the temple walls. No, it took another 4 years to build the temple. Not by might, nor by power, for 4 years. So, the Holy Spirit coming and saying to us, it's not by might, nor by power, doesn't mean we go sitting back, go to sleep, and then wake up and everything is finished. It means we are connected to Him while we're building. And He empowers us and He strengthens us for 4 years to be so connected to the Holy Spirit that when it is done and withstands the test of time. And there's something beautiful that happens. That mountain gets removed. Zerubbabel encourages, he mobilizes people, and one little stone at a time, that big mountain becomes a level field, and they can use the stones, they can rebuild the temple. The Spirit of God, the anointing of God, isn't magic, but it strengthens us. It gives us wisdom. It lubricates us. It gives us joy. It empowers us. It enlivens us. It gives us light. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit in partnership with Him. So I want to leave with what Hercules started off. God delights in partnering with us. He delights in partnering with you. When I ask you to have a look at your life and what you are seeing, and where you're busy building, I don't know where you're busy building right now. I don't know what your focus is right now. But what I do know is God knows. God knows, like Zerubbabel, remember, for 17 years. There's nothing going on there. The Samaritans are causing them all sorts of pain and opposition and heartache. You know, so there was a reason why the Jews didn't tolerate the Samaritans. It wasn't just as if it started out of nowhere. There was deep pain there. For 17 years, the vision doesn't come to fruition. 17 years is a long time to live with frustration, isn't it? And a feeling of failure. Every time he walks past a temple, he's reminded what God told him. Zerubbabel, I want you to go and rebuild the temple. And for 17 years, he couldn't do it. For 17 years, he couldn't do it until the word comes. It's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power. But you can do this. You can do this. My Spirit upon you. And then it says, these seven rejoice. And seven speaks about the seven eyes of the Lord, speaks about the Spirit of God. These seven rejoice. Right? The Holy Spirit rejoices to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. This is amazing. I don't think anybody else would have rejoiced in the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel. If they would have looked, show me your track record as a contractor, Zerubbabel. I've got 17 years of chaos. 17 years of pain, 17 years of rubble. And the Lord says, Zerubbabel, let me put the plumb line in your hand. I still back you, buddy. You're still my man. 17 years later, heap of stones later, you are still my man. The Lord rejoices to see the plumb line. Come on, saints. I think this is incredible. The Lord rejoices in the midst of his failure, in the midst of nothing working out, the Lord rejoices to see the plumb line in the hand of that same guy that came with faithfulness to God. I'm going to do this. It's not working out, but God, I'm going to do this. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. God knows the rubble in your life. He knows the word he has spoken to you originally. He knows the mountains you are being faced with. He knows the Samaritans. He knows the provision that's being sent by the Persians as well. He knows everything. His eyes upon you. His eyes upon you, and it's upon you for good. So I want to end off by asking us these questions. Is your lampstand connected? Just skip to the last one, Nigel. Is your lampstand connected to the oil of the Holy Spirit? Lampstand, think calling, think destiny, think purpose, think what you're busy with, that thing that you know God has called me to do. And I hope that all of us have made the transition and know that what God has called me to do on Monday morning is as powerful as what I'm doing on Sunday. What he's called me to do is I'm washing the dishes, or what he's called me to do is I'm driving my car. There's no separation. The impact sometimes differs, but there's no separation. I have a lampstand. I've got to have it burn. This little light of mine, we sang it. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. But is your lampstand connected to the oil of the Holy Spirit? What are the mountains standing in front of you? It says, great mountain, who are you? What are you in front of Zerubbabel? If I was Zerubbabel, I would say to the Lord, Lord, this mountain is 17 years of failure. That's what it is. But God wasn't looking from Zerubbabel's perspective. He was looking from heaven's perspective. And from heaven's perspective, oh great mountain, who are you? You shall be as a plain before Zerubbabel. And I believe that's what God has been doing for us, lifting us up, giving us heaven's perspective. But don't ignore your mountains. Name them, call them out, identify them. And then speak to them in the name of Jesus. And tackle them by the might of the Spirit of God. What are the mountains? Sometimes it's as easy as just not sleeping if you're a parent. It's a mountain. You've got to trust the Lord for the grace. Trust God for the grace of the Holy Spirit to carry you through that season. Where it feels like the words the Lord has given you, they're being squashed underneath nappies and little sleep and all of that. Sometimes as easy and yet as simple and yet as profound and earth-shattering, because it's a mountain for you. Maybe not for somebody else. And God is wanting to come in from heaven's perspective. He's wanting to show you how he sees it. And where do you need a fresh vision? In other words, where do you need to be awakened out of your slumber? Where do you need a fresh vision from God? I believe the Holy Spirit is here. Just get us to connect again to him. Can we go back to that slide with the seven uses of oil, Nigel, please? Can we stand? I believe that some of us need to come and we need to reconnect our lampstand specifically to specific areas of the oil of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says that calls us to be continuously filled by him. And some of us, we need to come, band, if you guys could come as well. We need to come and we need to bring before the Lord our relationships where there's a lot of wear and tear, where there's a lot of friction. And we need to come and we need to invite the Holy Spirit into that. We spoke about it yesterday, about how are we going to connect with the people around us who sometimes are so far away from us, who don't know Christ, who sometimes don't even want to know him. How are we going to connect with them? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how. The Holy Spirit will be the oil that comes in and lubricates our relationships with him. Maybe some family relationships you need to bring back to the Lord, reconnect with him. Maybe there's some wounds in your heart of 17 years of failure, 5 years of failure, 5 months, maybe nobody else even knows about, just you know about it. And the Holy Spirit wants to flow into you and set you free from that. Maybe there's an area, a moment of confusion in your life. You are here and you look all sorted out, but actually you feel like you're wasting your life. You don't know the purpose for your life. The Holy Spirit wants to show you. He wants to show you. He just delights to show you. Maybe your heart has grown cold. In worship, you're going through the motions, and nobody would know, but you know in your heart there's a coldness. Because God hasn't come through for you yet. And He's given you the promise, and something just died inside of you. Spoke to someone yesterday, I don't know who we think it was, Yolanda. We spoke about certain areas in the country that she visited that went through lots of trauma, and it feels as if the air in that area has been sucked, the life has been sucked out of it. It just feels dead. There's so much pain that happened there. There's no life there whatsoever. And sometimes when we go through pain, life gets sucked out of our hearts. Certain areas of our hearts. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and just flow into you. He can do for you in a moment what it will take counselors months to do for you. Some of us are maybe just fatigued physically, and we need to come and have the Holy Spirit invigorate us. Some might think, oh, 17 years, we've got another 4 years to go. I don't know. I'm looking for the exit clause. The Holy Spirit wants to give you strength to finish what He has given you to start. For some of you, the Lord is wanting to change the way you look at yourself. The Holy Spirit wants to show you how beautiful you are to Him, how much He delights in you. And for some of us here, maybe this morning, the Lord is wanting to give you a grace. To have grace with yourself, with the rough edges that comes out and the things you don't like. So let's close our eyes. I want to pray for us. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit's voice that has so faithfully been ministering to us this entire weekend and even this morning. We thank You for moments of clarity, Lord, where in Your presence you are wakening us up to Your voice, wanting us to see again that You have not called us, God, to live with confusion. You have not called us to live with confusion. We know that's how the world lives. The world lives with confusion because we know that the God of this age has blinded them. Has blinded them to Your purpose, has blinded them to Your love. But we are not subject to the God of this age. We have Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to speak over this work that You are doing in this continent and in Europe. There's so much confusion in where everything goes. I want to speak, Lord God, the birthright of knowing Your voice. The birthright, Lord, of being connected to You as the one who delights in giving us light in the darkness. And we therefore now, Father, collectively take authority over every assignment of confusion released against the people of God, wanting us to feel insignificant, wanting us to feel confused, wanting to make us feel as if we have no purpose and what we have to give is too small to make a difference. Lord, we take authority over those lies in the name of Jesus. And we say to You, who are You, O great mountain of confusion? Before Zerubbabel and the people of God, You shall become a level field. You shall become as nothing. And the people of God will finish the work, will bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. It was by grace. God's enabling power. God's enabling power. We thank You for the invitation You held before us, Lord, to have our lamps filled again with Your Holy Spirit. There were seven pipes flowing to those seven different lamps. And mostly for us as believers, we never cut off from all seven of them. But sometimes it happens that just one of them is turned off. One of them gets disconnected. But we don't have to live with six out of the seven. We can have all seven because of who the Holy Spirit is. So if you know this morning that the Holy Spirit has touched your heart, there's an area you need to bring to Him, I want to invite you. We have some oil. Do we have some oil? Yes. Can we have some oil? Yes. We would love to anoint you. That you would come and just say, Lord, I just want You to fill this area. Holy Spirit, I want to transition. I want to step out of my own striving. Because the season has changed. And even the good things that we used to do, I believe the Lord is saying. And this is for me so beautiful that we could do this today. This is a beautiful place. It's a good place. It was a good season. But the Lord has said He's transitioning us. Ask Him for a fresh touch. Ask Him for a fresh vision. And if you know that you need that from the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to come. Any one of these seven areas, maybe even an area I didn't touch upon. You just need the Holy Spirit to come and just fill you. You come for the journey that lies ahead of you, the building that lies ahead, the 4 years of building that lies ahead of you. Your own strength will not be enough. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to do it. Just come quickly so we can pray and just anoint you for this next journey. As Zerubbabel, I believe that there's even some of you, you don't feel like Joshua the high priest. You know you've been called as Zerubbabel. It's the judge, the governor. There's an anointing upon you to govern. There's an anointing upon you to put things in place practically. There's someone here, and you even this weekend, you felt intimidated. You felt like, God, I'm not spiritual. I know you haven't called me to the pastorate, and therefore I sort of feel a bit left out, but I believe the Lord. Interesting, that word came to Zerubbabel and not to Joshua the high priest. But Zerubbabel, bring your anointing to govern. Bring it to the lampstand. Bring it to the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Shabobon toshikama. Cambridges is a sign to the Lord. We want Him to fill us. Just raise our hands to Him. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says that He delights to put the plumb line in your hand. He delights in putting the plumb line in your hand. I see us walking with these plumb lines, and for some of you, you're using this as a yo-yo. And your Father delights in that. It's not a heavy, massive ball and chain. There's a joy that He's releasing over you because He delights in you having the plumb line. He delights in you having the vision, in you having the perspective, in you having put your hand to the plow to say, God, I want to build. And Father, I release a fresh anointing over your sons and your daughters to build. Not like Moses had to do and Aaron had to watch over that lamp 24/7. We thank you for the faithfulness. I just sense the Lord is saying that, Aaron, you've been faithful. Aaron, you've been faithful. You've been watching over that lamp. But now I'm calling you into my rest. I'm calling you into a new anointing. I'm calling you into a new anointing. I'm calling you into a new anointing. I am calling you into a new anointing. I am calling you into a new anointing. Then look for yourself amongst the rubble. Then look for yourself amongst the rubble. Then look for yourself amongst the rubble. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. We're going to have some of our pastors, Derke and Hercules, you guys could come. Kai and Danny, Anton. Let's just anoint the saints. We just anoint you for fresh connection with God. You don't need a connection with us. You don't need a connection with some system. You need a connection with the Holy Spirit, and He's here to bless you. He's here to give you the desire of your heart. He's here to give you the desire of your heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid to ask God. Don't be afraid to say to Him, Lord, I don't understand even. I feel some of us, you're afraid of your confusion, the fact that you don't see. Just be honest with God about that. Just say, Lord, here I am. Show me. I see, but I don't understand. Show me.
Thank you.